Crunch Time. Crunch Time. You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch Time. Crunch Time.
That's right, Kansas City. Welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull on a Thursday night, a beautiful Thursday night here in Kansas City. And you would think at this time of year, things are kind of slowing down before the big wave of fun, energy, and excitement of college football, the NFL, and, you know, I guess baseball, if you have a good team. But there's all kinds of stuff going on, Frank. It's just unbelievable. That's what's so great about sports right now and doing a sports show is there's always something to talk about. But we wouldn't be able to talk about anything. And, Frank, obviously we're going to talk about the NFL and this COVID thing and then the Big 12. And we'll have John Kirby on from Jayhawk Slant. But
yeah, he did a great breakdown on it.
First things first, we got to thank our great friends from CBD American Shaman, who sponsored the show. Remember, 30% off all product right now from Delta 8, which is unbelievable. I still have not tried it. I'm waiting for the right time to try it. I want to sit down and relax. I've heard so many great things about it. I just have not had the time to completely enjoy it and do it yet. But just got off the golf course yesterday, played like crap. But it wasn't because of pain, because I put my anti-inflammatory cream. Frank, you and I will be the CBD American Shaman teammates against my sons, CJ and Colin,
yeah,
who are much, much younger than we are and hit the ball a lot farther than we do. But you and I are going to Colbert Hills tomorrow,
yes,
and Saturday, and we're having a little match. And we will be slathering on CBD American Shaman products.
You bet we will, buddy. Take care of those two young kids. Knock them around. I told them they have to play from the blacks. It's only 7,500 yards from way back. And then you get to play from the purple, which is about 62. And I'm playing from the whites, which is about 54.
Are you going up there?
I'm going so far up, Tim. Oh, I told the guys at Colbert Hills already, I said, tomorrow you move the whites as far forward as you possibly can.
Frank will have
I think
a 95-yard par 3 he's going to be playing into.
That's exactly right. What's wrong with that?
I can't wait for that. But we will be taking a bunch of CBD American Shaman products with us, the water solubles, the anti-inflammatory cream, gummies. I still take a couple gummies right before I go to sleep, even with my CBN, and sleep like a baby. I've been sleeping so well. That's why I'm such a great mood, Frank, when I come in here and do the show with you, because I'm sleeping.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, the Big 12 Conference without Oklahoma and Texas is meeting as we speak. The meeting starts at 5 o'clock. We will keep you informed. Oklahoma and Texas were asked to join in this conference with the rest of the Big 12.
No comment!
And they just said we will not be participating. We talked about them moving now to the SEC. It looks like it's all but a done deal at the moment. And the other big story, of course, COVID and the NFL. The commissioner now saying that if you are unvaxxed and you have a positive, you will not play. If you cause your team to forfeit, everybody on the team is going to lose their paycheck.
So, for that game. Goodell, and I agree with him on this one. And I go both ways. So I'm a vaccinated guy. I think everybody should get their vaccinations. I understand there's people out there that are a little hesitant. I understand there's people out there that are worried about side effects. I understand there are people out there that think maybe they had COVID and they
don't
have immunity to it. So don't let me be the one. I'm never going to shame you into vaccinations. I've done it. Everybody in my family has done it. In fact, I read a really quick little tweet just earlier today that they're talking about Big Ten schools. And they're talking about COVID rules for the Big Ten and KU. They said like almost 80% of their team, and there's two offensive rooms that are completely vaccinated. And they didn't say what they were, but I could take a guess. I bet it's the offensive line, because I know Colin's been vaccinated. I bet it's the quarterbacks. Yes. What do you think? That's probably
well,
those
you
two.
Know who's vaccinated with the Chiefs is the quarterback.
And
if anybody causes him to lose a paycheck of any kind or end up forfeiting a football game, that guy ain't going to be a Chief very long. I'll guarantee you that whoever that may end up being.
But getting to my little point here is that, these guys, the NFL's not going to bend over backwards to reschedule football games.
They did that last year. They're not doing it again this year.
They're just not going to do it. So if you cause your team to have to forfeit a game, you're not getting paid. and you're not making up the game,
right,
and it's going to count against you in the playoffs.
Yeah, and
so
I
that's three strikes and you're out, Jack. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It's, you know, to lose a game, it could be, I don't know if it's going to be the difference between Kansas City going to the playoffs or not, but it could be the difference in another football team either going to the playoffs or not.
And I will tell you this, Frank, NFL type A personality players, right? We're all type A personalities. We think we have all the answers and we're always right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The
I've known
a,
you long enough. Yeah, that's exactly
the type A NFL Twitter accounts have been blowing up, and now they're all erasing it.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. I'm not getting vaccinated. You can do whatever you want. Guess what? He took it off. So
tell the NFLPA they can stick it.
Yeah. I have a feeling that there are bigger powers than Hopkins calling, and it's not the NFL ownerships, it's not the NFL front office, and it's not the NFLPA, it's his teammates saying, hey, listen,
absolutely.
Jackass.
Absolutely. What are you doing?
Don't be selfish. Right. You know?
And,
so
I'm not sure about the exact, maybe Beard's going to look it up, the exact number now, but there were, as of just a couple weeks ago, there were only three teams that had the 85% vaccination on their football team.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are pretty close.
Some were around, you know, were pretty high getting there.
Yeah.
And then there were others that weren't even close. They were under 50%. And you're going, this is your livelihood.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I mean, it's just crazy. And teams could go to them. They're talking about they cut some of these guys.
Well,
if you're a fringe player, I'm not keeping you around if you decide not to get vaccinated. I'll get another fringe player, guy off the street. We'll sign him. We'll get rid of you. We'll sign him. And we'll bring him in because he's not going to cause a problem.
And I saw a number, but I can't remember. Was it 850 or 85? Olympians right now that have tested positive already. And here's these people literally who have been working their whole lives to make the Olympics. And they're not going to get they're not going to get vaccinated.
Yep.
And, you know,
they're still not a 100% guarantee.
That at all.
They're still not a 100% guarantee.
Did they even have the Olympics?
That they're going to have the Olympics. Tokyo is now higher in COVID cases than they were at the beginning of the pandemic a year and a half
ago. Yeah.
They're higher now than they've ever been. They're in panic mode. They shut down the whole city. Nobody's allowed to go. Parents can't go. Nobody can go. They have the officials. Everybody's supposed to be in a bubble. But even in a bubble, a lot of these people are now coming down with the COVID.
And I love that DeAndre Hopkins, he erased it, but I think he just retweeted something like, freedom, and that's it. Freedom?
Sounds like Braveheart.
Right. Freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom to make $4 or $5 million a week. Freedom.
Wow.
Yeah. So
we will keep an eye on the Big 12 thing, too, with the realignment. And we're also going to talk a lot about this, about the COVID situation, and talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs, who actually report the quarterbacks and the rookies and, I guess, the injured players as well. The guys, they're coming in off of rehab or off-season problems, will also report also. And I think tomorrow, it'll be the quarterback, of course. It'll be Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, I think Creed Humphrey, one of your favorite players, going to play offensive center. And I think that it's going to be – I think it's also going to be
– they're letting the rookie talk, huh?
Right.
I'll never forget the first time that I actually talked to the media.
Oh, Nick Bolton will be the other guy.
I was walking off the field in William Jewell. And probably it was you, Frank. I started – the media, they went, hey, can we ask you a couple questions? And out of the corner of my eye, I saw Howard Mudd standing, who was my offensive line coach, with his arms crossed and just looking at me. And I was thinking, okay, was I not supposed to talk to the media? Was I supposed to talk to the media? What am I supposed to say? And I was pretty good at player speak by then. Being at Notre Dame, you got a lot of experience of the player speak. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time. you know, we're trying to win every game.
BS Lou Holtz was feeding you?
Yada, yada,
back in
yada.
The day?
So I'm saying all that stuff, and when I was done, I was walking off, and I noticed that he started following me. So he comes up to me and goes, so, I'm talking to the media now, huh? I said, yeah. He just came up to me, and he said, rookies are meant to be seen, not heard. And then he walked away.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, being the big mouth that I am, that never happened.
No, it never
did. It never happened, but that's what he said. So, Creed, a little Howard Mudd for you. You're meant to be seen, not heard. Rookies
Well, if they're putting you out in front.
No, I know.
It's not a media guy coming up to you this time.
No. Yeah, they're putting them. And it's a whole different world now than it was back then.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys to watch. And you want to talk about a little bit of players to watch as camp starts here in next couple of days. And when they really start going here,
it's
going to
be almost
next week?
Thursday of next week the time they really get into it. Because I think
if you
got to come in,
really
you
into
have
it.
Like 3 days of, not quarantine, but 3 days of, no, we're not going to do anything for a couple of days. They report Friday, then the rest of the team comes in on Monday. And I don't think they really get cranked up until like Wednesday or Thursday of next week.
I would love to talk to somebody at the Chiefs about this, but I know not to call and ask. But I would love to find out what their protocols are for people coming from all over the country and trying to keep people separated and making sure that nobody is reporting with any kind of COVID issue.
Oh, they're going to test them big time. They're going to test them every day.
But probably more than once a day. But you got to keep them apart.
The other thing you got to find out, who's vaccinated and who isn't? That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing you have to find out. If they're not vaccinated,
Frank, you ever hear of HIPAA?
They can't be.
They don't have to tell you, Frank.
They can't be in the same room. Okay.
Yeah.
As far as me is concerned, and they can't have any contact.
No.
They can't participate.
Can't even practice.
They can't do a thing without being vaccinated. This is crazy.
So
what are they holding on for?
So basically, if you can't meet and you can't practice, and you can't be around the other guys. Then how are you? I mean,
why show up?
If you aren't vaccinated, and if you're not vaccinated and you get COVID, you may cost your team a game. You can cost your team a
paycheck.
Everybody a paycheck. Not just you.
No,
it's not just you.
It's the whole team.
Patrick Mahomes, who gets paid $20 billion a game, cost him that much for that one game because Joe Schmo from Kokomo, who's playing corner, decided he didn't want to get a COVID shot. And now Patrick Mahomes is going to lose a paycheck.
and your problem that'd be crazy.
Do you want to talk about a hazing deal? Yeah, don't tell me there's not hazing if that happens.
Right. And the other problem is how quickly can you get, like, say you haven't been vaxxed at all.
It takes 5 weeks.
Well, I was going to say, if you get the Johnson Johnson, it's one, right? That's the only one that's
no,
one.
But they said that
the Moderna
for the thing to kick
and the
in,
Pfizer.
They were just talking about it on the news. Because
even the Johnson Johnson.
It was like the White House COVID czar came out and said, it's going to take, if you go right now and get a COVID shot, you still have 5 weeks of window that you're still not covered, whatever. It's 5 weeks. It's the season will be starting. These guys really should have
missed all the preseason games.
Yeah, man, sign me up. I'm getting my shot now.
That's right. I'll get it 5 weeks from now, right after the last preseason game. I'll be ready to go.
But guys, like players to watch in this defense camp, I think there's a lot of guys. I think that there's a lot of guys that are going to get cut by the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to get picked up on other teams, especially in the offensive line. But I was going to talk a little bit of defense. First of all, Melvin Ingram found a home in late July in free agency with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a one-year deal.
Just this past week, yeah.
The only other teams who were interested in him were the Chiefs and the Dolphins. They showed some interest, and they also need guys in that position. The Steelers lost, remember, Bud Dupree, had 8 sacks last year and I think 29 total tackles. Ingram is 1 sack shy of 50. And now is playing opposite to T.J. Watts, who is a hell of a football player. And I think he only played like 7 games last year. I don't even think he had a sack.
No, Ingram didn't. Ingram didn't have a sack last year.
So they went out and signed Okafor.
Well, the best part was this. Okay, so what happens is they haven't signed anybody to really try to back up this Frank Clark situation if he gets thrown in jail. Okay, or he gets suspended, or whatever happens with Frank Clark.
Right.
Okay, so the deal was Steelers signed Ingram, and like a couple hours later, Alex Okafor ends up signing with the Chiefs. So I think the Chiefs were still in on Ingram. I think they gave him a take it or leave it. If you don't go out there and try to find a better deal, if you can find, but this is our deal. And he decided he got a $4 million deal from Pittsburgh.
Frank, it's 1 year, $4 million. That's not that much.
I know. I'm not saying it is, but the Chiefs had their own idea of how much he was worth.
But you have to remember this. The Chiefs last year at this time signed Travis Kelce for a big contract. They signed Patrick Mahomes on the 6th of July, I believe, to a big contract. They signed Jones.
Right.
To a big contract.
Right.
Right. So, you know, people were like, hey, listen, we got to get these guys signed. But, you know, there's only a certain amount of money out there.
Well, and here's the problem.
So do they have that?
Who's sitting out there without an extension? Who's sitting out there without a new contract?
Matthew.
Tyrann Mathieu. And his Twitter, and he doesn't seem to be a very happy guy right now.
I'm not feeling that at all. And I said this yesterday on Sorin's show. I love Tyrann Mathieu. He's probably my favorite defensive player. And I think that he is the juice of that team, the whole team. Not just the defense, the whole team. I think he's the leader on that defensive side. I think he's great for his defensive back room. And he's just a solid, solid football player. Really good football player. He's not getting paid here. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I don't see that happening.
Do you see him sitting out?
No, I do not. I see him playing through the season and then saying, okay, because remember, Frank, the salary cap explodes after next year, supposedly. So there's going to be a lot more money out there.
That's a word now in the dictionary.
Supposedly?
Supposedly. Supposedly.
Were you correcting me or complimenting me?
Now it's finally okay.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want now.
Anything?
Well, sure.
I can say anything, but Beard, who's sleeping over there, may miss it. I don't see it, Frank. I just don't see
it. Wow.
I really don't.
Well,
I'm hoping I'm wrong, and I've been wrong before, Kansas City, as you guys know. I have been wrong before. I don't see it. I don't. You can't keep everybody.
Right. But when they report to Cam Mundy, will he be there?
Yes.
Do you think he'll be there? Okay.
Yep, I do.
So you think he'll play?
He's got another year contract.
No, I realize that, but he could sit out for a while showing he's ticked off and miss the preseason games and do all that and just come in on for the week before game one.
Yeah, he could.
Play.
He could.
Because he's not happy. Hey, he could tell on his Twitter.
Beers, give him a call. I know you got his number.
Call time.
Beer's got everybody's number. Just give him a call. Tell him Grunny wants to talk to him. If you're listening out there, Tyron, give us a ring. I think he is an excellent, excellent football player. Oh, and by the way, the Chiefs, the players aren't supposed to be, they can't go over and practice at the facility this time of the year. It's just an NFL rule. So they have been practicing, and they...
I know probably where they were.
And let me tell you something. They're ready to go. Our quarterback, the ball is just popping out of his hand. He is as motivated and as good a shape as he's ever been.
When you could beat 31-9 in the Super Bowl, okay?
You
better be motivated.
You have an angry Patrick Mahomes out there.
That's a good thing.
Kansas City, you have an angry, motivated Patrick Mahomes. That's scary.
It's perfect.
And Noah Gray is a effing stud.
Really?
Yes. And the wide receiver from Clemson looks real good, too. But, I mean, the guy who steals the show is a tight end from Duke. He steals the show.
Huh.
I'm just telling you guys.
Especially, how old is Travis Kelce now? 32.
And Travis loves it. Travis is like,
no, he likes
he's
competition.
Mentoring this kid. Yeah. Now he's met, you know what? Travis ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He ain't going anywhere. And he's going to be there as long. He just signed a new contract. He's going to be there as long as he wants to be there. But he likes the idea of bringing a young buck along and saying, that a boy, kid. Just like Mike Webster did for me. Now, Mike's a little bit older, a whole different situation. But,
yeah.
But still, you know, there's something cool. Like I had Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith was a young offensive lineman from Tennessee. He was here for a couple of years. Big Chevy. And then he went to Jacksonville. But he was my kid. He was my guy. And it was fun. It was fun to watch him grow and teach him and give him opportunities to have success. It was really a lot of fun. I think Travis probably feels the same way.
Yeah.
And
I don't think Travis is afraid of competition, that's for sure.
No.
I mean, there's no way. He's mentoring the kid, too. So.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You only get better with competition. Travis Kelce hasn't had competition since he's been here.
I know that.
So, I mean, maybe with competition he could be even better?
Sure. And now you can use the two tight end set a little bit if you want to try to run the ball a little bit more than you have in the past in those goal line, those red zone problems they had last year with in third and short.
If this was the old crunch time, I have a great line. I just, you know what, I'm so hesitant now to be all the old
crunch
time.
The old crunch time was from 9 in the morning until what are you worried about 6 o'clock at night for?
I was going to say, Andy Reid, if Andy Reid has a two tight ends like he has now, and he has these guys. The first thing that hits the wall when he runs into it won't be his nose. Let me just put it that way. He's going to be very, very excited about having that two tight end set.
Good Lord.
You get it, Frank?
I got it. Yeah, I'm sure everybody else out there got it.
All right, CBD America Shaman got it. They got the greatest stuff around. Stop over 30% off right now at all stores here in the Kansas City metro area. Don't forget about water solubles.
Yeah.
Outstanding stuff. Don't forget about the anti-inflammatory cream. Outstanding stuff. And Frank, don't forget about
Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness. 117th and Row in Leawood. 913-227-9510. It's in Camelot Court. They have the official hand sanitizer. They've got your they're going to have sunscreen pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. It's coming out next week.
It's coming out. So we're going to need it by next week. It's going to be hotter than hell around.
We need it for tomorrow. Jamie, you said you were going to bring some by. You know, we're going to be your guinea pigs tomorrow in Manhattan at Colbert Hills, just slopping that stuff all over ourselves so we don't burn. Now I got to use baby lotion or something. I don't have nothing.
Baby lotion? Baby lotion anymore.
It was Johnson & Johnson.
It was baby oil, not baby lotion.
You don't want to use baby oil tomorrow.
No, baby oil. You just fry with the baby. We used to use that Jersey Shore.
What's the one with the little girl with the dogs pulling down
her
shorts?
That's Coppertone. I've got some of that in my golf bag, so you don't have to worry about it.
All right. I would like to have some of that CBD America Shaman sunblock.
I'm not sure it's out yet. I'm not sure it's...
He has all this stuff.
Oh yeah, he does. They've been experimenting.
He's an experimenter.
Yeah, that's right. He's the guinea pig.
Yeah, he is the guinea pig. Vince is like, here, Jamie, try this. And he didn't turn into a frog. It's fine. His skin didn't fall off. It's all good.
All right,
guys. We're gonna take a break here. We come back. We're gonna have on John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. Did an awesome. If you don't follow Jayhawk Slant, I really don't care if you're a KU fan or not. John does an unbelievable job of covering all kinds of different stuff with different sports, college sports, the Big 12. It is a great, rival site to join and check it out. It's really good stuff. And John's come on here. He did a really extensive breakdown of not only what's happening with this Big 12 deal, but how it's going to affect KU and K-State and some of the schools that we all care
about.
Where
they may end up.
Yeah.
Not good at the moment.
It doesn't. They're thinking about adding two more Texas schools. There's going to be like all these Texas schools
like
and KU
North
and
Texas
K-State. Not like SMU and Houston.
Okay.
So which are okay schools. But now, I mean, what kind of leverage does the two Kansas schools have against Texas schools? It's not a good thing.
They're fighting for survival.
They are. You got to fight the power, Frank. Fight the power that be. You listened to
Crunch Time.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bohl. I want to thank our friends from CBD America Shaman. Once again, 30% off all products at all stores right now. And we are lucky enough to bring on John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant, who did a really, really nice. If you don't have Jayhawk Slant, make sure and you get it, because there's a really, really some great information. And you did a great job today. At 10:30 a.m., he's pounding out the typewriter. Actually, I guess it'd be the computer now.
Talk about aging yourself. Oh, Lord, and, I'm the old one here.
John,
you guys worked on a typewriter.
John, I love the way you started out with, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath here and let's look back a little bit. And you talked about some of the different conferences back, well, you know more than I do, what, 10, 15 years ago that KU...
Yeah, when the big breakup came the first time around.
Yeah, the KU was being courted by... And let's start with the Big Ten. You said the Big Ten was interested, but they just didn't have the facilities. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
Well, Tim, I don't know if that was, you know, the only reason at that time. You know, and I've talked to enough people here that were involved to... you know, definitely get the details of what was going on. But at the time, it was really a package of KU and Missouri. That's what the Big Ten was interested in, you know, in the first go around. They really liked those two packaged together, and it didn't work out. But one of the things the Big Ten said was, is, you know, facilities. And if KU can, you know, get some upgrades and facilities at the time from what they had, and then they did that.
Yep.
They've redone the tennis, golf, the track, the soccer, softball. They just redid volleyball. So I mean, you know, their facilities are definitely up to where a lot of the standards that people would look for now.
And then you talk a little bit about the ACC. They never really completely offered a spot to KU. What was your thoughts then about the ACC?
Well, and Tim, this is stuff that, you know, I heard after the fact, but, you know, the ACC said Kansas is the type of school, they've got the profile that the ACC would definitely be interested in, but they had a rough time with the location and selling that to chancellors and presidents of the ACC. Well, I mean, when you look at that, you've got New York, Boston College, Florida, Virginia, Wake Forest, Duke. I mean, you know, that's Kansas is pretty far off from where a lot of those schools are. So at that time, that was a hard sell. And we look today, Lawrence hasn't moved, right? I mean, it's still in the same spot, right? So, you know, it's still in the same spot. So, you know, if some of those hiccups are still a concern back then that are now, then you kind of got your answer for the ACC.
Yeah, I noticed that today, John, as I went back to Lawrence. You know, I spent a lot of time there a couple years ago. But I went back today to move my son from an apartment to a house with a bunch of his football buddies. So, yes, it has not moved. And it has grown a little bit, but it has not moved. I can say that for a fact. Frankie?
Yeah, John, we're talking with John Kirby, Jayhawk Slant, Big 12 Conference. Decided to have a little Zoom call or whatever today, and all the conference teams were invited. Of course, two decided to opt out and not be on the call, and that's OU and Texas. We're keeping an eye on the aftermath of all that. That sort of tells you everything you want to know, John, about where this thing stands as of today. This looks like it is rolling downhill, and it really doesn't look like there's anything there to stop it.
Yeah, Frank, just a little bit ago, I just talked to Jeff Ketchum, who I work with in the Rivals Network. He's the publisher of our Texas site, and he was the guy that actually last night broke the news that Texas and Oklahoma will inform the Big 12 next week that they don't plan to extend the grant of rights and re-sign. And, you know, his comment was, there is a lot more fire than smoke around this right now. So, you know, we've all followed this right in the past, and you just had this uncertainty of what's going on. But for whatever reason, this time, it feels different. It does. It was like, you know, this, like you said, Frank, the ball is rolling, and I don't know, it's going downhill, and I don't know if it's going to stop.
Yeah, and John, the other thing the first time around was, I think it was Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, they sort of became attached at the hip. If you want Oklahoma, you got to take Oklahoma State. I think that was part of either a gentleman's agreement or a state law or something concerning that. And the other big deal was when the SEC came around the first time, they got Missouri and they got Texas A&M. They promised Texas A&M, gentleman's agreement, that if we would like to add a team in the SEC that's from your state, you have veto power. And now that looks like that has gone by the wayside as well.
Well, it looks like they have veto power, Frank, but unfortunately they need like two or three other schools to have it, right?
Right.
I mean, so they can veto it, but if nobody else does, Texas is going to join their conference. And you could tell just the people that I've talked to here in the last 24 hours, you know, that's the one school that definitely would not be excited about Texas joining the SEC.
Yeah, you know, everybody was talking about how loyal Texas was to the Big 12 and yada, 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 this and that. And, you know, Texas A&M, one of the reasons why they said they got out of there is because Texas was stealing all the oxygen out of the Big 12 and they wanted to get their own, getting some clear air away from Texas. So, Texas, I think, has had its own agenda for a long time here, Curb.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, Tim, if you go back and just listen to the little whispers that come through that, you know, Nebraska left because of them and A&M left because of them. So did Colorado. And, you know, I heard a story once that back when the Big 12 was adding West Virginia, there was a push to say, hey, let's bring in Louisville too, right? I mean, they were not in a major conference at the time. And, you know, I've heard that Texas was the one school very against that, and they had enough stroke that Louisville didn't enter. And, you know, right now it'd be pretty nice to have Louisville in the Big 12. So, you know, Texas, you know, they've carried a lot of stroke. They've made a lot of big decisions. And, you know, and in the end, they could be the undoing of the Big 12 here.
All right, looking at your great article that you wrote in Jayhawk Slant, looking forward, looking ahead, let's just talk about a couple of schools that maybe would join the conference, whether it'd be good enough to keep that Power 5 status or not. There's some people that you say that they're going to be a mad dash for University of Central Florida and South Florida. And then there's some people also saying that SMU and Houston could be a good fit. I think there's problems with both of those. The first thing is I don't like the idea of two Kansas schools and maybe an Iowa school and then having all of these Texas schools kind of having their own little program. I think they lose a lot of hand and a lot of power if all those Texas schools are all kind of ganging up on them.
Yeah, Tim, so what I did was I had a chance to talk to a couple people that I've met over the years that are currently working, making a lot of money in college athletics, and they told me that it was interesting because both guys said the same thing in two different conversations, and they said, you know, if Texas and Oklahoma leave, you still got eight solid schools that own the rights to the Big 12 mm-hmm. and the name and the conference. And one guy said, you know, there still could be enough pull within those eight teams. I mean, you still got some good places, TCU and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. And, you know, there's West Virginia, depending on, you know, their location. But there's still some strong schools there. And let's just throw out, one of them gave me BYU. You know, BYU is a national name. They've got a big following. They're worth something nationwide, okay? If you went and found a Central Florida, SMU, who's got deep pockets, and, you know, the Big 12's already got the Dallas market with TCU. But if you added somebody like that, you could still possibly be a strong enough conference to where you still have that kind of Power 5 title with it. And I think that was the big question was, can they add four schools, let's say, to get to 12 that still keep them at that upper echelon to where they're above – considered above a mid-major G5 conference?
Yeah, you know, you're right, because as I look down the list here, if you decide to add BYU and then you went, well, West Virginia's already in the Eastern time zone, you would be traveling, there'll be three time zones in the conference. You'd have Mountain, you'd have Central, and you'd have Eastern. And some people think, imagine BYU going to West Virginia to play football. Or if you added Central Florida or South Florida, BYU going to Central Florida or South Florida to play football, I think that all sort of plays into it if you want to try to bring those teams on. BYU has been sitting out there as an independent for a long period of time. You don't think about them in the same terms you do Notre Dame because they don't have the cachet.
Well, actually, John, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call Notre Dame. I'll get that hooked up. You guys, we'll get Notre Dame in the conference.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what? Hey, I will tell you one thing. That would save the conference.
Yeah, it would.
Okay, that would definitely save the conference. But, you know, if you talk about a couple teams, like you have West Virginia out there, if you could add Cincinnati and Louisville, there's some natural tie-ins with those
or
programs.
Or BYU and Utah.
Or BYU and Utah if
and
you want to go
Colorado,
west.
Yeah.
Not Colorado. They're already
or Colorado there. State, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Frank, one of the things you talked about, though, is time zones. Well, one of the other hot topics is, well, what about the Pac-12? Okay, well, when you get into time zones, a lot of these schools are going to be jumping two-hour time zones as well to
right.
go to the Pac-12. And I know, you know, when all this was going on 10 years ago, the Pac-12 was really aggressive. And I know there were schools that looked at it, and they looked at travel expenses. And, you know, they were just talking about, how much is it to send your rowing team to Corvallis, Oregon, and you got to drive the boats up there,
yeah.
right?
I mean, right.
they were like, hey, this isn't going to be worth it financially.
Yeah, Kirby, I was taking a look at some of the comments from your article. There's a lot of people that are just kind of mentally just drained from this process. I haven't seen that as much from a lot of some KU fans that are like, listen, I'm just sitting out this one because it's just like, you know, I just can't think about it anymore. It just seems like every 5 years or every, you know, 10 years, you know, Texas, you know, blusters and everybody caves to them and they get what they want. Now this time they're like, you know, they're just going to leave, let them go and we'll just see what happens. I mean, so you have a new AD You know, first of all, A, do you think he saw this on the horizon when he took the job? Would he have still taken the job if he saw this coming? I think he would have, but I'm sure that this is not what he wants to deal with in his first year of being an AD, a conference that's basically falling apart and adding a bunch of new guys. And does he have connections with the Big Ten from Northwestern that maybe he has a little inside track of, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Well, Tim, he's a sharp guy. He's a competitor. I think he would have absolutely taken the job. Now, you talk about a guy that's had, you know, a crazy few months. I mean, he comes in, he's got to go out and hire a football coach. Okay, he gets that taken care of. That took some time. Then he comes back and he's actually got to start doing his day-to-day operations that an athletic director does. Okay, and now this comes up, you know, just before they're getting ready to start fall football season. So. You know, it's been a crazy time for Goff to come in and go through what he's done. And also keep in mind another connection, Jim Phillips just left Northwestern as the athletic director to become the commissioner of the ACC, and Travis Goff worked with him for several years at Northwestern. So, you know, Goff's got connections. But one thing I learned in the last time this go-around happened with the realignment is I was told – multiple times, athletic directors, believe it or not, don't have a large hand in some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. This stuff is done from the chancellor and the president level, the board of regents. I mean, ADs are obviously kept abreast and in on what's going on, but I was told this several times last time, is the chancellors are the guys who are really the women are the ones definitely making the call and pushing the buttons.
Yeah, and we're talking to John Kirby, Jayhawk Slant. And when they're pushing the buttons, it's all about money. And this is about big money, and they certainly don't want to be left out in the cold. Okay, let's get a scenario here for you, John. Texas and Oklahoma leave, which we all think they're going to do. The Big 12 can't cobble together a conference that would be to their liking or satisfaction, or maybe it falls off the Power 5 list or whatever. Where do Kansas and Kansas State end up if that is the case? Worst case scenario, obviously.
Well, Frank, you know, I still think, you know, Kansas fans dream big with the Big Ten. Okay, that's always been a conference that Kansas fans have felt that they would have a good fit in. You know, they're an AAU school. They think that the Big Ten would be a good match. But it's like I tell people, I know they don't want to hear this, the Big Ten has to look. Okay, I mean, the Big Ten has to be looking for schools. I mean, they're sitting at, 14 now?
Right.
Okay, they're knocking down, $50 million a year for each school. Well, what can Kansas bring of value that brings into the conference that keeps the schools knocking down $50 million or more? I mean, so the Big Ten first has to say, okay, we're expanding. We're looking for more teams. And what could happen from this, Frank, if this goes down, then you could start this whole 64-team conference thing that everybody's been talking about.
Right.
Four conferences, 16 teams each, going 64. If that happens, Kansas will find a seat at the table, okay? There's no doubt. And I still think Kansas State is a good enough university, and they've had, you know, tradition that they would have to find one too. So is it in the same conference? I don't know. You know, there's always been talk. Can you let Kansas? Can promise you this. If the Big Ten came calling to Kansas and Kansas State was going to go to another conference or whatever the scenario was, and Kansas could go to the Big Ten and make $50 million a year, I promise you right now, the Board of Regents would get so much heat in the state, they would have no choice but to let Kansas go make that move.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the end. And then you do end up in a Power 5. And I agree with you with the 64 teams. I thought it would either be the 4 16s or it'd be eight-team deals, and then they would have seven in their conference, and then they get five outside, you know. They would all do it like the NFL does it. They do it by power rankings. When you finish first, second, or third in your conference, you're going to play somebody from one of the other little conference deals that is first, second, or third, wherever you – it's going to be just like the NFL model with a larger expanded you know, number of teams involved, but with a 16-team playoff, which would bring even more revenue. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens. But, John, you're absolutely right.
All right, John, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit of football. Coach Leipold, his first summer, you know, obviously the coaches can't do too much with the guys in the summer, but they've been working hard over in the weight room and doing all that kind of stuff, and it's been real good. Colin's really, really excited about how far they've come in the weight room. We'll see if that equates into wins or not, but I think there's going to be a lot of good competition at the offensive line position. I think they have some decent wide receivers, a tight end they could play. They have a couple of running backs I think are competitive. They need to find a quarterback. And I think Leipold knows that. Can he develop a quarterback this year to make them competitive on that offensive side?
Well, Grunny, I think what he'll do, and if they don't have the guy they like at quarterback, because they're basically inheriting what's there before them, mm-hmm. they got in there too late to recruit. So I think you're going to see huddles, okay? You're going to see they're going to slow the game down. They're going to snap the ball with 2 seconds left on the play clock. They're going to limit mistakes. They're going to punt it away. They're going to try to play field position. And you know what, Grunny, you know this. You've been there. They're going to try to take games that they lost 49-10 last year, and they're going to try to make those 35-12.
Right.
You know, and it's like Leipold said, you stay in games, and then next thing you know, you stand in the game and you find yourself in the fourth quarter and you lose a close one. The next time you find yourself in the fourth quarter and then you win one. So, you know, they're going to play high percentage football just like they did at Buffalo. You know, Kansas in the past has walked out with some bad teams and they've run hurry up offenses and they've gotten off the field within less than a minute. And they're punting the ball away. And next thing you know, they're down 35-0 and they're still running and hurrying up. And, you know, it just snowballs on them. And I think this staff is going to do what they can to minimize things and keep things closer than they have. And listen, I've been around Leipold, had a chance to talk to him. He knows exactly what he signed up for. He knows exactly what he's taken over. And I really think this guy has the makeup, along with his staff, to know what needs to be done.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there, and including the national media.
All right. Hey, just before we let you go, John, here's the first shot across the bow from another Big 12 school that's still trying to remain here. It's from Ted Mitchell from Texas Tech. Like many across our state within the footprint of our league, I've been extremely disappointed by the actions and intentions of our friends in Austin and Norman. From day one of the Big 12 Conference's existence, Texas Tech has been a proud and trustworthy partner. As the landscape of collegiate athletics shifts, I can promise Red Raider Nation that our leadership will diligently pursue all options to best position Texas Tech for long-term success. So that's the first thing out from the meeting today with everybody in the Big 12 except Oklahoma and Texas, who did not participate.
And John, is it true that Patrick Mahomes is on that call?
Hey, save the conference, Grunny. Save the conference.
All right.
Hey, you know, I'll leave you guys with this. I talked to Jeff Ketchum, who runs our Texas site, and he's really been on this. And I asked him about, how's this all going to go down? You know, what's the timing of this? And he said something interesting. He said he thinks Oklahoma and Texas could create enough chaos, like what Frank just read. Texas Tech start worrying about themselves. Kansas starts worrying about themselves. Mm. Iowa State does the same. And next thing you know, guys start finding themselves with, you know, this guy gets a home here. Maybe this guy finds a home here.
Right.
And now the conference just kind of falls apart on its own.
You know what, John? I think that's exactly what's going to happen here.
Yep.
I really do. I think everybody's gonna try to find their own deal. They're sick of dealing with this. They want to get to a solid footing in a different conference.
It's the transfer there. Rules for the universities.
There you go.
That's all it is.
There you go.
I mean, I'm looking for my own gig, and I'm going to go where they want me, and I'm going to go where I can make some money and be happy. All right, John. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
John, appreciate it. John Curry, Jayhawk Slant. Great article on Jayhawk Slant. Go to it. Check it out. He talks about all this in much more depth than
if
we did.
If you don't got it, get it. And my boy Randy Withers and John Kirby do a great job on their podcast, too. So I think they did something on that. So if you can find their podcast, go ahead and find that also. Guys, you're listening to
Crunch Time.
Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhart and Frankie Bull. And we are heading, if you are friends that listen to us in Manhattan, we'll be...
Colbert Hills.
At your place tomorrow.
Probably everybody will be indoors by the time we tee off, which would be a smart thing.
Could be a 5-pound, 10-pound day from you.
Could be. You lose a lot of water weight out there. Make sure you hydrate.
That's
and not sure. with, of course, you don't drink anymore.
I don't.
So we don't have to worry about you anymore.
Not anymore. But, yeah, we're going to Colbert Hills. We're staying at the nice hotel downtown. And
yeah.
We're going to venture off and, let's see, Aggieville? Is that what they call
it? Yeah, that's Aggieville. Uh-huh.
You don't have to drink when you go to Aggieville.
No,
right?
You do not.
No,
I'll be
welcome.
We'll go eat dinner somewhere and have fun. And we'll send the boys out.
Let the boys.
The old man will go home.
Send them on.
I wonder if I could find a bar where Garrett, on his 21st birthday, threw up all over the table at that bar. Man, I forget the name of that bar. G-Man, what's the name of that bar where you threw up all over the table on your 21st birthday? I think he only made like 12 shots before he threw up. So
what was he trying to get to?
21.
Ugh.
Forget it. Yeah.
That's a bad deal. Dumb. That's not smart.
Alcohol poisoning.
I thought he's smarter than that, Frank.
He's
one of your
smarter
kids.
Than that. He's 40-some years old now. You know, he's an older child, and he's 20 years beyond that type of thing.
All right, Frank. Training camp starts, so next week.
Yep, Friday, the quarterbacks and rookies and the injured guys report. Monday, the entire team reports. Be about Wednesday or Thursday before they really start getting into it up at camp.
Yeah, I just can't believe how fast it's gotten here. Now let's cross our fingers and our toes and hope that we can get through the season, you know, vaccinations and everything else. For most people, we want fans in the stands. We want players healthy. We want all the stuff that
safe.
We love the NFL.
Safe.
Be safe. Make good decisions, and then we'll go from there. And, Frank, you going to be watching the Olympics?
Yeah, if they have them. There's still no guarantee at the moment.
What's your favorite Olympic event to watch
in
the summer?
I think track and field I love.
Yeah.
I love the sprints and the gymnastics, the women's gymnastics.
Yeah, I like watching the women's gymnastics. And I hate to say it, I like to watch the swimming.
Of course you do.
I used to be swim dad 61.
Absolutely.
All right, Frank, we're going to get out of here. We will talk next week about the opening of training camp because you're listening to
Crunch Time.